Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hi, this is The Author Show, and I'm your host, Linda Thompson. Before I introduce our guest, just a quick reminder that selected interviews are available in our iPhone app, which can be downloaded in the App Store, as well as on TV, on the Roku channel and Amazon Fire TV. Our app name on all platforms is The Author Show. When 18-year-old dancer Marion Davies meets rich media mogul William Randolph Hearst, her life changes forever. In her historical fiction novel, The Blue Butterfly, Leslie Johansen Knock tells Marion's story, and Leslie is here to share more. Leslie, welcome to The Author Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Leslie, will you please give us a quick overview of The Blue Butterfly?
Sure. The book is about the life of Marion Davies, her private life. I got inspired to write the book on a tour at Hearst Castle when the docent said that Marion Davies had loaned William Randolph Hearst $1 million when nobody else would at the height of the Depression in 1937. And I wondered why I had never heard that story before. I wondered why we hadn't had a book about Marion. And when I went and did some research, found that there really wasn't much about her out there. And I sort of put a pin in it in a way because I was writing my first book when this happened. And so I was inspired to write about her, but didn't really get to do that for a few more years.
The Blue Butterfly is listed as historical fiction. How much of your book is fact and how much is fiction?
Well, I did a lot of research into Marion's life and I wrote it from the beginning to the end based on fact. Now it's fiction because I have written scenes and I've written it as a novel. And of course, I wasn't there recording the actual dialogue and I wasn't privy to conversations, but we know the events that happened in her life. They're well documented by many scholars and biographers of William Randolph Hearst because Marion Davies and William Randolph Hearst were together for 34 years, and he has a dozen biographies written about him, and they have all included Marion Davies in their works.
How does your title, The Blue Butterfly, fit in with your story?
It's a name that she's given by Frances Marion when she's very young, dancing on the stage for the Ziegfeld Follies, and she meets Frances Marion, who's also very young, a screenwriter for Mary Pickford at the time. And it's what Frances Marion sort of nicknames her, because when she meets her, that's what she thinks about. And Charlie Chaplin picks up on this nickname later in the book. He really loved calling her the Blue Butterfly.
That's very interesting. I've read a lot about Hearst and Davies, and that one I never heard. So thank you for adding to my history. So who do you think would be the ideal reader for your book?
Well, I seem to write for women. I think women are interested in other women's stories. And I think we know a lot about men's histories in the world. And I think the women are now getting their day. And I'm here to advocate for women and Marion Davies. And I think other women are interested in hearing stories about women.
I agree with that. So I'd like to know, what kind of research, where did you find the information? And what did you do to ensure the believability of your story?
Well, Marion Davies has one biography written about her that was published in 1972 by Fred Lawrence Giles. And I read that, of course. And I read Marion's book. It was a transcription of tapes that she made when Hearst was still alive. Near the end of his life, she was making notes in hopes of publishing an autobiography, but she never did finish it. But after she passed, it was then transcribed and put into a book called The Times We Had. And it's not really a memoir or an autobiography. It's really just transcriptions of tape. And there's a lot of asterisks on every page because she was drinking a lot at the end of her life. And she was, shall we say, she was fudging a little here and there on different facts. And the publisher of the book, you know, footnoted the things that she had misremembered. And so it's an interesting book, but I don't know how much I can trust the truth because I don't know that she was very forthcoming with the actual reality of her life back then. It was all very much an image, you know, in the 30s, in the 20s, in the 30s, it was all about image.
Absolutely.
I also used all the biographies, and David Nassau, who wrote The Chief about William Randolph Hearst, he gave me all his research. And I talked to Brian Kenny at the Hearst Corporation, and he also facilitated the research for me. So I had a lot of information to draw from.
That's great. So if you can compare The Blue Butterfly with any other, what would that other book be?
Well, my inspiration for the genre that I'm writing in and sort of was Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald, or The Paris Wife, or the book about Frank Lloyd Wright. It's a story about Mamah Borthwick and Frank Lloyd Wright's, I can't remember the name of it. Those were the books I sort of was reading and I wanted to write from a first person. And so I am writing first person about Marion Davies, about her life, and writing it as a novel in the genre of those books.
As you mentioned, Davies loaned Hearst $1 million while he was really struggling. Did she ever recover that money before he died?
Yes. So the corporation did assign her collateral for the money, and she actually came up with another $1 million. So it was actually $2 million that she loaned him, which $1 million in 1937 would be like $17 million today. And she raised it in less than 2 days. And they assigned her some papers, newspapers in Boston as collateral. And she did get her money back.
Interesting. So did Hearst's wife know about her?
Yeah. So at first, I think not. He was sneaking around with her and put her up in an apartment, and they were having their life together and their fun and games. And I think as it became more serious for Hearst, and he opened Cosmopolitan Pictures, and he started featuring Marion in all of his movies and publicizing her in all of his papers, it became pretty obvious to Millicent, I think. And he tried to get a divorce from her, but she didn't want a divorce. Back in the 20s, anybody that was divorced, especially high society woman, it was sort of like a stain. It was like a rejection, and they weren't accepted into high society as well anymore when you're divorced. So she never wanted a divorce.
Interesting. So what happened to Marion after Hearst died?
So late in Hearst's life, they became friends with a man named Horace Brown, and he and Marion ended up getting married after Hearst died. I think Marion missed Hearst so badly. She couldn't be alone. She hadn't been alone her whole life. She had been with Hearst. And Horace Brown actually looked like Hearst. He looked a lot like Hearst and could have been his brother. But he wasn't Hearst, obviously. And it was a very tumultuous marriage. And Marion was drinking a lot. And she was so unhappy. And she filed for divorce several times, but then withdrew it. And I think it was just not a very happy time. After Hearst died, it was very difficult for her. She only lived another 10 years.
How sad. So, Leslie, have you always dreamed about becoming a published author?
I've dreamed about being a writer. When I was young, I used to write. We did a bunch of sailing when I was young, and I used to write in our family logbook stories about our family. And I knew that I would write someday. I just didn't know when. And so I was sort of waiting for a sign from the universe to see when it would be the right time for me to actually launch a career as a writer. And it sort of didn't happen until I was 51. I got married. I did a lot of things late in my life. I had a very dysfunctional childhood and had to recover from that, got married, had children, ran a business, took care of my mom. And then finally, when everybody was fine, I finally had time at 51 to start writing. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years, writing.
That's quite a journey you've been on. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you working on a new book now? And if so, can you give us a quick teaser?
Well, my first book is a memoir about growing up on a sailboat with my dad and two sisters, and I am going to finish the story of our family. I'm going to write the second memoir, and people who have read the first memoir keep bugging me for what happened next, so I'm actually going to do it. I'm writing it now, and I hope to have it published, you know, in the next year or so.
Well, that brings me to my next question, which I'll change a little bit. Your first book was titled 14. So share a little bit about your life on a sailboat.
So my dad was a Norwegian immigrant, and he came to the United States, met my mom, and had three daughters. And his dream was to take his three daughters and sail around the world. And he divorced my mom when I was seven. And he was a bit of a tough guy. He was, you know, abusive and hard and had his ideas about raising three little girls. And he was physically abusive and sexually abusive. And so coming up in an era in the 70s with a father who was so overpowering and who wanted to take us sailing around the world was really a conflict. So that's what my first book is about, Sailing to Tahiti. We left in 1975 and we sailed to Tahiti in French Polynesia and sailed down there for 9 months until my sister got hit by a car and kind of put a stop to our around the world trip. And so that's the story I'm going to continue to tell in the second memoir, is what happens to our family later, including what happens to my mother, who suffered from mental illness. And so that's sort of the journey I'm on right now. I'm excited to be done with it because I want to write another novel. I'm excited to write another novel. So
you have an idea of what the next novel is going to be?
I don't yet. I'm waiting for the inspiration. I'm a big believer in the inspiration coming. It's like Marion Davies. She came to me and she inspired me and she stuck with me until my first book was done. And then when I said, I'm ready to write again, it all came back to me, this passion about her and this passion about telling her story. I guess I'm going to wait to see what inspires me again. I really believe in the forces of, you know, creativity and inspiration. And so, yeah. That's basically, I'm going to wait for a sign from the universe again.
I understand that. So is there a moral of the story or maybe a message in The Blue Butterfly that you want readers to take away?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Marion's been dismissed. And the final nail in her coffin of, you know, her reputation was Citizen Kane, Orson Welles' movie. And she's portrayed in that movie as a drunk, talentless bore. It was really horrible for him to do that. She'd worked so hard. She made 44 movies. You know, she had a lot. There's nothing to feel sorry about, but she worked really hard in her life too. And it's been dismissed. And I'm hoping that by bringing attention to what she lived through and her life and her choices, that people will reconsider her as a star at the beginning of the movie industry in 1918, 1919, all the way through till she retired in 1937. And, you know, if people reconsider her reputation and she starts showing up on some of the best of Hollywood lists again, I will consider that a success.
I heartily agree, because you've got to stop and think about she wouldn't have had $1 million if she wasn't any good. So there had to be something behind her besides just her money and his influence. So now, will you please read a short excerpt from The Blue Butterfly for us?
I sure will. Okay, Chapter 1, New York, 1907. Mama named me Marion Cecilia Duras, and I was the baby in the family of five children. By the time I was 10, I had to fend for myself. Mostly I liked it that way. I was a tomboy, and being a troublemaker came easy to me. Mama wasn't exactly neglectful. She ran out of hugs by the time I was born, the fifth child in 11 years. She was tired and always preoccupied with my three older sisters and brother. 5'2", with big bosoms and a stern voice, Rosemary Riley Duras was discreet, mighty, and fierce, like a quiet thunderstorm. When she smiled, her eyebrows lifted, her mouth opened a little, and her face became soft and tender. When she smiled at me, which wasn't very often, my whole world lit up. Mama saw the bleak economic realities for women like us. Our opportunity to meet and marry wealthy, eligible men was in the theater, where the lines between the classes blurred. In the fantasy world filled with glitz and glamour, relationships between distinguished gentlemen and dancers were not openly acknowledged by high society, but they were prevalent. It's a way to get your foot in the door to a better life, Mama always said. Some might say she encouraged us to be gold diggers, but I say she helped us navigate the world the best she knew how. I hid in the shadows, sneaking in and out of rooms, watching my two oldest sisters, Rainey and Ethel, dress and do their hair before heading off to jobs in the theater. My third older sister, Rose, who was just 2 years older than me, stuttered like I did, which created an unspoken bond between us. Rose loved to boss me around, and we were in constant competition over everything. Of my three sisters, I was most like Ethel in personality. We were jokesters, kidders, and tricksters, and strove to make people laugh, if not outright shock them. We didn't look alike at all. I had curly blonde hair and big blue eyes, while Ethel had kinky brown hair and brown eyes. We were opposites on the outside, but twins on the inside.
Oh my gosh, I just feel like I know them just from those descriptions. What a wonderful excerpt. So now I've just got to ask, Leslie, where can we learn more about you, about your other book, and where can we purchase The Blue Butterfly?
Well, I have a website, and there's links to purchase in all different formats and places. My website is www.lesliejohansonknack.com. It's LeslieJohansonknack, Leslie Johansson Knack.
And there's information about you. You've got some beautiful pictures on there. And do you have a sign-up sheet for newsletters or announcements or anything?
I sure do. I have a newsletter that I put out once a month, and I keep everyone up to date on what's happening in my writing life.
We've been talking with Leslie Johansson Knack, author of The Blue Butterfly. The facts and fiction surrounding Davies and Hearst has fascinated me for years. I find the whole story remarkable, and I'm sure a lot of our audience will as well. Thank you for sharing The Blue Butterfly with us, Leslie. And when you publish your next book, will you please come back and chat with us again?
Thank you, and I would love to. Thank you very much for having me.
The Blue Butterfly is an unfiltered first-person narrative told in glittering detail. It is the almost mythic story of a glowing, spirited woman who is captured and showered with riches beyond imagination, a butterfly in a gilded cage. In this very fast-paced book, which spares no detail in the telling, we see how clearly Marion Davis paid for her willing captivity. Well, that was a review for Leslie's book, and if it, as well as our show today, has left you wanting more, go to LeslieJohansonKnack.com and order your copy today. And when you finish reading, don't forget to post your review. And please share this interview with your friends so that they, too, may become acquainted with their author. And remember, the author show may be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. Plus, selected interviews can also be found on major platforms such as Amazon Fire TV, the Roku channel, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many more. Whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of new books, theauthorshow.com is a really great place to start.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.